There are some thoughts that you just don't want to be thinking, like a mental image of something terrifying, a really unsettling doubt about the kind of person you are and what you're capable of, or an urge to do something you'd never actually want to do. Everybody has those thoughts, even if they might not talk about it. But if those thoughts feel sticky and highly distressing, and you feel a deep need to do something about them, like constantly ask for reassurance, to try to figure out your unwanted thoughts, or any other behavior that seems like it might help the fear, anxiety, or doubt go away, it could be a sign of OCD or obsessive compulsive disorder. OCD is not like what the stereotypes portray. It's a serious and highly misunderstood condition that causes people to get stuck in a cycle of stressful, unwanted thoughts called intrusive thoughts and repetitive behaviors called compulsions. Intrusive thoughts can be about anything, but they often focus on what you care about the most, like your identity, relationships with loved ones, or beliefs, and they feel totally out of character. I have family members with OCD, so I've seen how hard it is to live with. OCD can make you question everything about yourself, take over your life with fear, and drain your energy. It's often debilitating, but the good news is that it's highly treatable. But not every therapist understands OCD or is qualified to treat it effectively, which can make it difficult to find the right kind of help. But with NoCD, it's easy to get proper care. With NoCD, you can do a virtual therapy with a licensed therapist who specializes in treating OCD. They can help you reclaim your life from OCD so those stressful thoughts don't have power over you anymore and you'll be able to live the way you want to live. NoCD therapists are trained in a type of therapy called ERP, or exposure and response prevention. It is the most effective treatment for OCD, and NoCD makes it affordable with insurance coverage for over 155 billion Americans. They also provide support between therapy sessions, so you're never alone. To find out more about therapy with NoCD, go to nocd.com and book a free 15-minute call with their team. That's nocd.com to learn more and book a free call. Trust me, it's worth your time to talk to someone who can uncover what's really going on and help you get your life back. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns Early. Acorns Early is the smart money app and debit card for kids that helps them learn the value of money. Teaching my kids the value of money is always on my list, but I'm not the best at keeping track of the money they earn from helping around the house. But I just discovered Acorns Early has a great tool to help me with that. Acorns Early Chore Tracker teaches kids hard work really does pay off. You just set up the chores in the app, set a payment amount, and then tick the chore off the list when it's done. Acorns Early also lets parents pay allowances automatically. No more rummaging around the house for cash. Automatically send a weekly allowance to your kids' account with just a few taps. Kids can spend what they earn with their very own debit card, which you know they'll love, and they get to choose from more than 35 customizable card designs. Plus, parents, we can keep track of where and when the kids are spending. You can get real-time spend notifications, set your kids' spending limits, and instantly block lost or stolen cards. Now is the time to grow your kids' money skills with bite-sized financial lessons. The Acorns Early app is here for that. They have tons of fun, interactive courses that help kids learn all things money. So ready for your kids to learn the value of money? Just head to acornsearly.com or download the Acorns Early app to get started. Sign up now and get your first month on us. TNCs apply, monthly subscription fee starting from $5 per month unless canceled. Hello there, listeners. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You know what is also so great? You don't need to be rich to start investing. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with just $5 or even just your spare change. Acorns works for me because I love knowing I'm doing something proactive for my future when I'm not even thinking about it and giving my money a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Pay client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorn Advisors LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Listeners, if I could go back and tell my 20-year-old self something, I would tell myself probably to rethink white eyeshadow and over-tweezing my eyebrows, because it doesn't age well. But you know what does? Investing. I wish I would have started then, but it's never too late. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You know what else is great? You don't need to be rich to start investing. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. Basically, Acorns does the hard part so you can give your money a chance to grow. Sign up now and join over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
I've been here.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Happy Lunar New Year. It's the year of the snake, Tab.
Yes. My son and your son are both the year of the snake also.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things I can't retain, like what my kids' signs are.
Well, your Wyatt is the snake and my Colton is the snake.
Okay.
So there's something good to
say. Which is crazy because they are like the sweetest, nothing snake-like about either
one
of them.
It's so true. Also, it's Super Bowl week and I'm going to see Gretchy. She's coming to my house because I'm having a little Super Bowl party. She's flying her little booty all the way over here with her whole damn family.
Uh-huh. I was looking at Super Bowl shirts to wear to the occasion because I'm not particularly like on either side.
Yeah.
And I didn't think they were appropriate for children.
I can only imagine what you would wear. Her and my son were really not wanting. So, you know, my son used to be a huge Kansas City fan. Mm-hmm. Not so much anymore. I think he's over it. So he was absolutely devastated. And so was Gretchen. And I think they both had tears in their eyes literally when Kansas City won.
I don't have it out for Kansas City or the Eagles. I just am kind of like meh about both.
Well, now I cannot believe my son went like full 180, guys. Like he was, we have Chiefs jerseys, you know, our friend Melissa sent me stuff. I mean, and now not so much.
I know. I'm thinking about going for the Eagles just because I'm really into my bird feeder. Right now, I got one of those bird feeders that has a camera. So I'm just into birds.
Okay.
So maybe I'm natural. Yeah. Anyways, I know we have business to talk about, but I am not, just so you're not worried. I'm not going to wear the shirt that says, it says, I like tight ends and something about balls.
Oh my God. Okay. Thanks
not
for
wearing
not wearing
it. Not wearing it.
Thanks. Okay, great, because there's going to be a lot of children here. Mm-hmm. Okay. But we do have some business, and I think you guys want to hear about it.
There is some
exciting, like really exciting stuff coming up. We're not going to tell you about it all quite yet, but we are going to tell you about something super cool that we are doing in November. And today is, I think, the second day or third day that it has become world known. We had to keep it secret for a real long time. We've been wanting to tell you. But we are going on a crime wave cruise, and we hope you are going to come with us.
Okay. Think about it, people. It's going to be so good. You'll be with like-minded true crime people. I love being with my people.
I know.
It's so much fun.
It's so much fun.
And everything is just right there. You don't have to think about anything. And you have plenty of time to think about. Well, I mean, you should act fast and get your tickets now because they're probably going to sell out.
It sells out.
But you have until November to prepare.
Yeah. So if you book it now, you can save all that. But it's November.
It is November 3rd through 7th, Tabitha. Okay.
November 3rd through 7th, go to Crime Wave
at sea at slash sea. Housewives, and you will get your fan code. It's really easy. You just go to the website and give your email, and then they send it to you, and that's just so they can track everybody that is
coming.
And then you'll get a code, and we're really excited. It's going to be so fun.
So tickets do not go on sale, I think, until next week, but you got to go and sign up right now to get all the information. So crimewave.com/housewives. It's really... That's right. It is, right, Gretch?
Yeah. And we're cruising the Caribbean.
Yeah. We're going to the Bahamas. It's on Liberty of the Seas, Royal Caribbean. You guys know I just took this cruise 1 day shorter version, which I really said to everybody, I think it should have been 1 day longer. So this is a perfect length. And Royal Caribbean knows how to put on a cruise. Their entertainment is amazing. I mean, literally, like, you guys, I love entertainment. I've been to lots of stuff. You know, I have a connection in the Ticketmaster world. So I get to go see a lot of stuff, and hands down, the entertainment on board the Royal Caribbean is something that you would probably pay as much for as this damn cruise.
Okay. Top notch. Love it.
And it's different. It's a little different than Crime, because I asked about Crime Con cruise versus this cruise, because I love Crime Con. I love everything about it. But this is more of a, it's more of people to interact with fans, have like a very upbeat, social time, I guess, is what I will say.
Okay.
And then I have another piece of business really fast, because a lot of you are on Patreon or Apple, and we totally appreciate you, but we would like to see more of you there. So we are offering for the month of February a $50 code to get any Five Crimes products that you would like when you sign up for Patreon.
That's such a good deal. Are you telling me, Tab, that for the price of a year subscription, we're going to send it to you in products?
That's right.
That's a good deal.
That is a good deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I know a few of you have signed up recently.
We're not going to screw you.
We're not going to screw you. Just email us and let us know, because we do not want you to be left
feel
out
screwed.
Because
I just, yes, and leave
we
us.
We really hate when people screw people. Okay.
Yeah.
And then for you people that are on our Patreon already or Apple, please also just send us a quick email, housewivesoftruecrime@gmail.com. And we have something for you too. So don't worry. We are not screwing you also. And then just email us your name so that I know who you are. I can cross-reference you to make sure that you are on our list, and I will send it to you. But really, go to patreon.com/housewives, and I promise you, you will love us. We come to you on Thursdays, and you'll love the Five Crimes products that you get along with it. All right. That's it for the business.
Okay, word. It's so cold here, Tab.
I heard. It's colder than like Dallas.
It's 54 degrees.
Oh, hell no, California. What the heck? I heard it snowed in Ventura.
Oh,
did you see
it?
That? Yeah, mm-mm. It did. The other day, my mom sent me a picture.
It's cuckoo bananas out there. But I did something cruel and unusual. I got my dog's haircut. I did not predict this weather. She's just a little tiny thing. And I got it cut real short because I don't get her to the groomer all that often. She got mugged, Tab. They took it all. And now she's like shivering.
Oh my God, get her a sweater.
I know.
My dogs are Chihuahuas. They don't have hair like that. So it's fine. She's fine. She's going to be fine.
I got her a poncho.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a little tight. She's been indulging. She's like perimenopausal.
Oh my God, aren't we all?
Yeah.
I've been reading and listening to so many podcasts about perimenopause. It's like stupid.
It's so fun.
It's so dumb.
Every day, Tab and I are like, you know how that skin under your eyes gets thinner? Yep. Perimenopause. That's what it is.
Do you know how when you wake up?
So new.
And when you can, like, your feet hurt when you get out of bed. That's so weird.
Uh-huh.
I've never had that before.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so much fun.
It's so much fun.
I hope your crime is fun. You going to tell it to
me? Oh my goodness. It's not fun, but it is a crime. Mm. All righty. Let's get into this case that was suggested by Morgan Schwartz. Thank you, Morgan.
Thanks, Morgan.
And like I told you on Patreon, if you are listening, people, that it's coming out of Colorado, which we are going to be at Crime Con. We hope to see you there. I'm going to have a code for you next week for that. Okay. So Aspen, Colorado, Gretchy.
Ooh.
It is the hub for outdoor recreation, from skiing to snowboard, hiking, camping. Seems like your jam, Gretch.
It does. Can't say I've ever been, because Aspen is a top dollar, and I'm a family of five.
Yeah.
So we go to those ski resorts where kids go free.
Yes. Okay. So let me just tell you, you could do it all there for a hefty price. And it wasn't always that expensive. Back in like, you know, I'm going to tell you just a little bit about Aspen, because I find Aspen interesting, right? Like mm-hmm. It is for the celebrities and the who's who and the who's what and the whatever. But it was a ghost town at one time because they had a silver boom in late 1800s, and then it dried up. So it literally sat there with nothing for a very long time until they realized that they could ski down those mountains.
Oh, yeah.
And now it has a population of 80,000 people, and about 125 of those people are billionaires with the B, mm-hmm. like Jeff Bezos.
Mm-hmm.
He owns a $16 million mansion. The median home price, Gretch, there is $13 million.
Yeah.
That's why you and I both have not been to
Aspen. No. I've heard actually it's really pretty during the summer too. And so I've thought about just going there just to say I've been, and you don't have to pay for a lift ticket or anything, you know?
I can imagine, by the way, like, just a hotel, or if you're gonna get an Airbnb and the medium home price is $13 million, I don't even know how much you're paying a night for an Airbnb. Yeah. There mm-hmm. like stupid amount of money.
Yeah, I know. Actually, my husband was on a group text where they were talking about planning a ski trip, and it was cheaper for them to go to the Alps,
like the Swiss Alps.
Yeah, it's cheaper for them to all like travel to the Swiss Alps and stay there than to go
to Aspen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm taking Swiss Alps, thanks.
Okay,
but Art Feister, he was originally from Minnesota. He was definitely not taking the Swiss Alps, okay? This guy, he served as a cargo pilot for World War II, and he had this wife, Betty. She was a trailblazer. She was originally from New York. She was a pilot. She flew gliders and hot air balloons during the war, and these two met while skiing in Aspen in 1954. It must have been cheaper.
That is so romantic. They're both pilots?
Both pilots.
Oh my God. Mile High Club. 100%.
100%. That same
extra
year,
points if you can still steer. That's good.
Well, they must have. This was a long time ago. I don't think they had self-steering at that point.
Whatever.
Oh, and by the way, let's just give a small prayer to the people that.
Oh my God. That flight. Yeah. Pain. Recording this, we're just getting the news. Which, you know what? I was thinking, we were just talking about how incredibly stressful the air traffic control job is.
Yes.
And it's coming down to that.
Listen, that is yes. So yeah. Oh gosh, I'm so sad for that.
Yeah.
I'm sad for all of it. It was made my stomach hurt last night when I heard the news. So anyways, little prayer for them. So that same year, Art paid $30,000 to buy a 700-acre Lazy Chair Ranch, which he developed into the Buttermilk Mountain Ski Resort. It opened in 1958 with one T-bar ski lift as an area for beginners who wanted to learn how to ski. Over the years, they added some trails and some lifts, and today it's known as being ideal for families and new skiers with really gentle slopes.
In Aspen?
In Aspen.
Oh, okay. Yes. Oh, I'm not familiar. As we know, I'm Poe.
Betty and Art were constantly seeking adventure. Art had a passion for teaching people how to ski, which he built into a business. And Betty flew a bright orange and yellow helicopter that she called Tinkerbell. Age did not slow this disco biscuit down, because Betty, guess what she did in her 70s? I think that perimenopause just flew right past Betty, okay? Mm-hmm. Betty bungee jumped in Australia in her 70s.
Hell no.
I would be afraid my leg was going to come off or something. Yeah.
No.
With all of that adventure in their blood, the couple passed it down to their three daughters, Suzanne, Christina, and Nancy. But of the three daughters, Nancy was the one that really had the spirit for adventure. One of Nancy's high school boyfriends told CBS News that Nancy was like a tornado, always doing stuff. Another one said she was a heartbreaker. On one first date during high school, Nancy and a boy went to the skating rink, and within minutes of their arrival, Nancy had ditched his ass for another guy. A close friend of Nancy said that she had a lot of boyfriends, but never a real long-lasting relationship. She wasn't that kind of girl.
Love him and leave him. I'm with you. Just Nancy. Kidding. I was the heartbroken, not the heartbreaker.
I know. Same girl.
Oh, love him and got left. That's coming to me.
Nancy didn't just date locals from Aspen. Nancy dated the elite members of society and even some notable actors like Michael Douglas.
Ew. Well, that's hot. I see it, dude. That's hot. You can fly. That's
no,
hot.
Nancy doesn't fly. Nancy just is. She's the daughter of the flyer.
Oh,
Betty's
she's the
flyer.
Oh, okay, sorry. Confused.
Nancy, I mean, Nancy's a real, she's real cute. Like, she's a hot biscuit.
Okay.
She also dated Jack Nicholson.
Shoot.
And she was a social butterfly, but she never married. However, she did have a baby girl named Juliana. When fellow single mom Kathy Carpenter first moved to Aspen, by the way, Kathy Carpenter was a bank teller, and they, I think, met at the bank, and they became fast friends. Side note, bank teller in Aspen comes with some housing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. They would have to, right? Because how can you, like, afford?
You can't afford it.
Yeah.
So according to Kathy, people either loved or hated Nancy, but Kathy loved her. Nancy introduced her to things like art and drinking champagne and eating sushi. You know, the finer things in life.
Everybody needs a Nancy.
Things that Kathy just never experienced before. Yes, I like, you know, I like a friend like that.
Yeah.
But looking at their friendship from the outside, it might look a little lopsided. Nancy treated Kathy kind of like a personal assistant.
Mm.
When Nancy went on trips, Kathy would come over, help her pack her bags, do little things for Nancy, check on her house, collect her mail. Kathy did all this from the kindness of her heart. Never got paid for it. And even it is rumored that Nancy called Kathy her personal assistant sometimes to people.
You know, it is interesting. I live in an area where it's real high-low. And I have seen this dynamic where there is like maybe a very like wealthy friend and a not so one. Mm-hmm. And maybe they get kind of, you know, to schlep in the shit. I don't like that dynamic at all.
Yeah, I don't like it either. But maybe it serves... I don't know.
I guess I think it is. I just think it's kind of sad. I think it's sad on the person that thinks they need to schlep shit to have a friend. And I think it's sad on the person that has the money that thinks that they can go around telling their friend to schlep their shit. You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
It's like bad karma. It's mean. Stupid.
Okay. All right.
Eat a dick. Bitches.
Okay. It was kind of a lot. Listen, Nancy didn't just lean on Kathy for these quick trips that she took to like check on her house. Every year, Nancy would leave Colorado in the winter because she didn't like it very cold, and she would go somewhere warmer for the entire winter from like fall to spring. Nancy had some money because clearly her parents had started this Aspen ski resort, right? So she came from money. I don't think Nancy ever like had a job. I think she was just living on whatever came down to her, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't quote me on that because I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure if you can leave half the year to just like, I don't know, canoodle with some Australian.
She probably did some charity stuff.
Yeah, whatever. Well, I know that she didn't have full access to the family assets, but she needed some supplements. So what happened during these winter months is she would rent out her house when she was gone for some cash.
Yeah.
Kathy would take care of everything from collecting the rent money, you know, just being like the whatever you call it.
Property manager.
Property manager, right, mm-hmm. right. Nancy had a gorgeous 3,000 square foot house that sits on 36.5 acres surrounded by trees full of wildlife. It's estimated today that it's worth over 10 million buckaroos. And in the fall of 2013, Nancy was going to go to Australia like she did in the wintertime. So she put an ad in the Aspen Times for her house. It read, 3-bedroom house, 3.5 baths, on the mountain, no cats. A couple, and now here, listen, this is going to get a little confusing because I'm going to introduce another Nancy.
Okay.
Okay. So
we can call Nancy that is going to Australia Fancy Nancy.
Okay, that's a good idea. Okay, I'll call her Fancy Nancy. Okay. It's kind of good because her name is Nancy Feister. So it kind of fits her too. Fancy Nancy Feister. A couple named Nancy and Trey Styler answered the ad. Nancy was Nancy Styler, not Fancy Nancy, was a master gardener, and Trey was a retired anesthesiologist who had some health issues. The couple, they were in their 60s, lived in Greenwood Village in Denver for most of their lives. By the way, which is kind of funny because I was just looking at CrimeCon Denver, and the Greenwood Village is kind of near where we're going to be. So,
oh, interesting. Funny.
So I kind of know where it is. So they lived in Greenwood most of their lives. People said they were just, you know, great people. Nancy garden. She had a beautiful garden. She would have people over. The local elementary school kids would come over to see her lily pond, and their water gardens were even featured on HGTV.
Those lily things are pretty cool.
Yeah, they are pretty cool. Before they moved to Aspen, they had actually fallen on some hard times and they wanted to rebuild their lives. Trey developed a debilitating neurological condition and could no longer. Before they moved to Aspen, they had fallen on some hard times and wanted to rebuild their lives. Trey had developed a serious debilitating neurological condition and could no longer practice medicine. He had filed a civil lawsuit against Colorado Anesthesiology Consultants, which he lost, and ended up owing his attorney about $610,000.
Oh, dang.
Which was basically all their savings, right?
Yeah.
Trey filed a lawsuit against his lawyer, which he won, but then the lawyer decided to file bankruptcy.
Balls.
Totally. The Stylers moved to Aspen thinking that they could start a medical spa where they would offer laser and Botox treatments and rebuild their lives.
Oh, in Aspen, genius.
It is genius, actually, because Nancy could do all that and Trey could be the owner, you know? They answered the ad for Fancy Nancy's house rental and went to the house to take a tour. The Stylers, they were like, heck yeah, this looks amazing. So they agreed to pay Fancy Nancy $12,000 up front, which was 3 months rent, and then pay the next $6,000 in time.
Okay.
The trip to Australia was still months away, and Fancy Nancy agreed to let the Stylers actually stay in her house with her. According to Nancy Styler, Fancy Nancy told them that they could set up their spa business right in her house. After they moved in, Nancy Styler told CBS News that Fancy Nancy started treating her pretty bad. Fancy Nancy wanted her to basically be her personal tailor, alter her clothes, rub her feet, fetch her cigarettes, grab her champagne. And things got pretty tense with these two women, which I can see.
I don't get it.
They sign up to live as like, well, live in their house. And then I bet they're like, okay, yeah, sure. We'll live there while you're, you know, living there. Who cares? Right. But
it gets real uncomfortable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boundary crossing. Also, I was thinking if I were Fancy Nancy, I'd be like, sorry, it's not available until whatever, because I don't like people up in my business. But maybe she likes it, them in her business, so she can start treating them like poop.
I don't know. Fancy Nancy left in November to winter in Australia and left her home and her Labradoodle in the care of the Stylers. Her friend Kathy would be in charge of collecting the rent. And the Stylers did pay another $6,000 in December, but did not pay for other things that they were supposed to, like utilities. Fancy Nancy got pretty upset about this and took it to Facebook, which, you guys,
oh,
don't do that. People be doing that still, and it's like, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not.
She expressed her dissatisfaction on her Facebook page with her renters, saying that they owed her money and they'd taken advantage of her good nature. According to Nancy Styler, they didn't even have a chance to start their spa business when Fancy Nancy said, I'm coming back to Aspen in February instead of May. She essentially evicted the Stylers and told Kathy to make sure that they were out of her house. Some of these messages were pretty... they're pretty aggressive from Fancy Nancy. According to the Stylers, the eviction notice came so fast that they didn't even have time to move their spa equipment they had bought out of the garage. Fancy Nancy arrived back on February 22nd, and the Stylers moved into a motel room. It was about 25, 30 minutes away. Fancy Nancy gave a note to Kathy to pass on to the Stylers. On the note was a list of things that Fancy Nancy wanted the Stylers to pay for. $14,000 in utilities and damages to her house, and also threatened them with a restraining order to keep the Stylers off her property. The note also said that Fancy Nancy would keep the Stylers' property that they had, like all that equipment, until she was paid in full.
Oh, you can't be doing that.
You can't be doing that, actually.
Yeah, you can't. I hate these entitled people that think that they can be doing
stuff like that. I know. Mm-hmm. So the Stylers went to Nancy's house anyways, after they read that note, because they were like, listen, you can't keep us legally from our property, so we're coming to get it back.
Also, okay, side note, as a prospective person, like as a landlord renting to prospective people, it's not really ideal to rent to people that are starting a business. You know they're going to run out of money. Everybody runs out of money when they start a business.
Well, also they didn't have the money to pay in full when she wanted it in full. So there were some red flags there for sure.
Yeah.
For Nancy. Like,
yeah. So I say, like, bad on you.
And then $14,000 in utilities, a lot of money.
Dude, that is a lot of money.
Yeah. Like, were you running the heater like nonstop or what?
Well, heat be expensive.
I know. Yeah. Did you have electric stove? I mean, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Okay. When they got there, they actually found that Nancy's dog had been in the house without her because he had like peed all over. So they were like, what the heck? Where is Nancy? But they were like, well, she's not here. So let's get our shit and get out of here. The Stylers packed up their stuff and left around 4 p.m., intending to come back the next morning to finish getting some of their stuff. While they were at the house, Nancy Styler told, which she, by the way, told 48 hours later, that she noticed something foul coming from Fancy Nancy's room. Fancy Nancy should have been home, but she wasn't. The dog had obviously been left alone, and Fancy Nancy's closet was locked and there was no key. Usually, like, the key was in the closet, I guess. However, Nancy Styler did not tell anyone, and she didn't investigate any further. Nancy Styler didn't call authorities, but she did call Kathy Carpenter a handful of times. Since Kathy hadn't seen Fancy Nancy in a few days, she went over to the house to check on her friend. On February 26, 2014, Kathy called the Pitkin County 911 Center screaming in horror. She was frantically trying to tell the dispatcher that she had found her friend's body inside a closet. Dispatch immediately sent out the first responders, and Detective Brad Gibson was one of the police officers dispatched to Fancy Nancy's house on Buttermilk Road to investigate. I'm going to play you the call here.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
911, what is the address of the emergency?
Help me. Oh my God.
What is the address of the emergency? Is that a house business or apartment?
It's a house. It's Nancy's sister's house.
Ma'am, tell me exactly what happened.
My friend had... I got my friend in the closet.
Ma'am, tell me exactly what happened.
My friend came back from Australia, Nancy's sister, and she had some people living there. She really pissed them off, and she made threats to them about owing money, and I don't know. I couldn't find her. She didn't call, and these people said the dog had been in the house and she hadn't been around. So I went up there to get the dog and was looking for her.
I need you to tell me exactly what happened.
I can't. My friend is in her closet. Yes.
In her closet?
Yes.
Okay, stay on the line with me. We're going to send help that way.
Okay. Kathy had gone to check on Nancy only after Nancy Styler had called her, right? Because she hadn't heard from Fancy Nancy. When she got to the house, she didn't see Nancy, so she went upstairs to the bedroom. Then she noticed a smear of what looked like blood on the headboard of Fancy Nancy's bed. Then she went to the walk-in closet where it was locked. And she said that wasn't really that weird, but the key was usually left in it, like I told you. So what she had to do was go and drive back to her house where she had a spare key for the closet and then come back. And when she opened the closet door, she noticed the foulest smell that she has ever smelled. And then she looked down and she found a pile of blankets and towels on the floor. And it was like shaped in a body. And that's when she ran outside and called 911.
You know what the thing about having kids is? They always need new stuff, like shoes. Oh my gosh, we go through so many shoes. And with my busy schedule, I am all about the online shopping. Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop because you earn cash back at over 3,500 stores. We're talking fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, travel, dining, concert tickets, and more. Your favorite stores like Adidas, Hello, Shoes, Sephora, and Walmart pay Rakuten to send them shoppers, and Rakuten then passes on part of that payment to its members as cash back. Cash back is deposited directly into your PayPal account, or Rakuten can send you a check. You can even maximize your savings by stacking cash back on top of other deals like store sales and coupons. You're already shopping at your favorite stores. Why not save while you're doing it? It's a no-brainer. Plus, membership is free and it's easy to sign up. Go to the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's Rakuten. Your cashback really adds up. Listeners, are you like me and love crossing everything off your list of to-dos, but making a will is one of those tasks that's still uncrossed because it's so dang overwhelming? Well, it doesn't have to be. Take this task off your already busy hands with Trust and Will. Each will or trust is estate-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, final arrangements, or power of attorney, Trust and Will has you covered. I love having the confidence that comes with the peace of mind of knowing that my family is protected. And FYI, it's affordable and it really is easier than you think. Their simple step-by-step process guides you from start to finish, one question at a time. When maneuvering through the process, if you have a question that stops you in your tracks, there is actual live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of five-star reviews from Trustpilot and has been used by hundreds of thousands of families and counting. Stand up and protect what matters most to you in minutes with Trust and Will. Go to trustandwill.com/housewives and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/housewives. Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
The call, like you heard, it's kind of a little hard to understand. But one thing you can hear is Kathy saying that Nancy had people living in her house that she had really pissed them off. Once personnel arrived on scene, Detective Gibson learned that the house was owned by 57-year-old Fancy Nancy Feister and that Kathy believed the body in the closet was that of Nancy's. Kathy told him that she had last seen her friend 2 days before on the 24th. She told him that she went into the house the first time. She didn't see Nancy, so she walked through the house, described what she saw, but she was in hysterics, like so much so that they had to call an ambulance for her. And then she went to the hospital and she got sedated. Detective Gibson entered the home along with deputies and a deputy coroner and located the body inside the bedroom walk-in closet. The body had been covered, like I told you, in towels and blankets and sheets. With all of that covering on the body, Gibson couldn't tell. Like, he couldn't really even tell which way the body was positioned. After they uncovered the head and the shoulder, they could finally see which way it was facing. They saw a woman's neck was covered by a towel and then a heavy-duty extension cord and wrapped around the towel. And then from the shoulders down was a body that was wrapped in heavy-duty black trash bags, the flex kind, you know, the resistance tear kind.
Yeah.
The victim's head was wrapped also in two white kitchen trash bags. The inside of the inner bag was smeared with blood, and when deputy coroners touched the victim's head, he said it felt like somebody like had hit her in the head. After Kathy had recovered from her shock, Detective Gibson met her at the county courthouse to interview her. He learned that Fancy Nancy spent her summers away, traveled in the winter, you know, really who she was. Kathy told him that she had rented to the Stylers, and right off the bat, she was like, there's some friction between these people. And of course there was rent to be paid. They stopped paying. There was utilities. And she also said that the Stylers were using Nancy's car, which I don't think was in the agreement, which I also think is kind of weird.
Yeah.
I would never do that.
Yeah.
Kathy told Detective Gibson that she was the caretaker for the property for Nancy while she was gone. And at one point she stopped by the house and noticed that Trey's computer was connected to Nancy's, which obviously also isn't super cool. More than once, she also said she saw Trey slamming doors and cursing under his breath when he was upset. And it really made her worried that he's one of those guys with like a bad temper. Kathy said that the Stylers owed Nancy like 14 grand. And once they had ponied up the money, Nancy was going to let them come back in the house. But this, of course, you know, made the Stylers even more mad. Even before Nancy got back from Australia, Nancy Styler was making comments to Kathy. This is what she's telling the authorities, that something bad was going to happen to Fancy Nancy. Nancy Styler even made a comment to Kathy that she was going to kill Fancy Nancy. Kathy told Detective Gibson that Nancy Styler called her after Fancy Nancy got back and claimed that Fancy Nancy wasn't there and that she probably just walked off and committed suicide. Kathy thought that was like completely bananas. Like, why would Fancy Nancy do that? And why would Nancy Styler say that? That's like not something.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even know this person.
Yeah.
You saw her for like a month while you lived in her house. Like, what the hell? She knew that Fancy Nancy wouldn't do something like that. And 3 days after those first phone calls, Nancy Styler called Kathy several more times over the course of the days 24th and the 25th. She told Kathy that she was at Fancy Nancy's house and that her and Trey were cleaning up their stuff. She went on to tell Kathy that Fancy Nancy wasn't home, but the house smelled weird. And then on the 26th is when she called again and said they got all their stuff. They left some trash bags outside, but something wasn't right. Something was off and didn't smell right. So that's when Kathy went over there and ultimately found her friend. The following morning at 5:30, police were at the door of Nancy and Trey Styler's motel room, and they were taken into custody pretty quickly. A search warrant was executed on the room where their phones were, and their phones were seized. Including in the search warrant was their vehicle. At this police station, the Stylers were put in separate rooms. They were also put in jumpsuits, which this is the second time I've read something like that. I didn't know they did that right away. But
is that a Colorado thing? Because that could inspire our outfits.
It's true. Crime con. I don't know. The other case that I'm working on right now, the same thing happened and he was in Arizona. So I'm not sure. DNA swabs were taken from the couple. They were photographed for evidence. And during Nancy's Styler's interrogation, she spoke about how much she hated Fancy Nancy. By the way, I heard this interrogation. It is pretty like, I mean, I could not imagine talking so much shit about somebody if they just had been murdered.
Okay, but on the other hand, to be like devil's advocate, when you say that, I think it's smart. Because a little bit I do, because you don't want to go in there. It's like all these people that are like, oh yeah, our marriage was great. Blah, right. blah, blah. Like they lie and then they get caught. And it's like, oh, if homie lied about that, what else did you lie about? So yeah, you hated the bitch.
Well,
she was a bitch. She was not nice. It sounds like, sorry, rest in peace. But
no, she definitely did not like her. She called her a liar, an alcoholic, and the most self-loathing person I've ever met. She stated that Fancy Nancy asked for $12,000 security deposit and then $4,000 a month after that. Nancy Styler said they paid the $6,000, then the other half on Christmas. She also claimed that there was no hot water in the house for the first 4 weeks that they lived there, which I'm not sure why. Deputy District Attorney Andrea Bryan listened to the interview and felt like Nancy Styler was exhibiting enough anger that it was totally believable that she would kill Nancy Feister. That was until they interviewed Trey Styler. They saw his anger boil even more about Fancy Nancy. When investigators asked him if he felt bad that Fancy Nancy was dead, he said, a little, but she screwed us up big time. Despite his outward anger, the deputy DA and detectives felt that Trey was just not capable of murdering Fancy Nancy alone. He was, like I told you, he had those health problems. So even though he was in his 60s, he seemed like very elderly, very frail.
I would just hope that by the time, I mean, right now, occasionally, I still want to cut a bitch. I would hope by the time I'm in my 60s, I feel like it's, you're all like, whatever, water on a duck's butt, roll it off. You don't feel like punchy or, you know, any of that anymore.
But they,
I would hope.
They, well, I hope you don't come on hard times, because I think hard times brings hard people.
Yeah.
So anyways, they didn't think he could act alone. So both Trey and Nancy were administered polygraph tests. And Trey did not pass his polygraph test. Okay. So despite their suspicions, the police did not have enough evidence to hold the couple. So they released them after 12 hours. Meanwhile, an autopsy on Fancy Nancy was completed, and the pathologist determined that she died as a result of severe blunt force trauma, and she had an open skull fracture to her right temple, and it appeared as if Nancy had been sleeping when she was attacked, because she was still wearing a sleep mask and earplugs. Her body showed no signs of a struggle, and the pathologist determined that she had been dead for about 36 to 48 hours. Back at Fancy Nancy's house, the crime scene technicians discovered blood evidence on the mattress that had been flipped over. And then on February 28th, something crazy happened. A trash collector was performing his rounds, picking up trash around Aspen, when he stopped at a public trash can. If you've ever been to, like, well, you know, like in Tahoe and Aspen, they have these like bear-proof trash cans. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it was one of those bear-proof trash cans. So the trash collector opened the trash can and pulled out a rather heavy, like it's one of those that like the machines can't do. So it's like a person has to do it, right? So the trash collector pulled out a rather heavy trash bag that looked like it could be a household trash bag, which is against the rules to use in those. And when these trash collectors find household garbage bags, they're supposed to remove it and look in it, because they want to see who in town is like dumping their shit in a trash can they're not supposed to be, right?
Yeah, I can see that in Aspen. I bet bougie towns ain't got nothing to do but start some trouble.
Oh my God. I was like, is this for real?
Wow. Yeah.
Doing this? Well, yeah. Well, he did. And what he saw was first a jewelry box. And then inside the jewelry box was some stickers and a photograph. And then a prescription bottle that said Fancy Nancy Feister on it. And he knew, because he just read in the paper that morning, that Fancy Nancy had been found dead. So at this point, he was like, oh shit. He called the police, which is very good on his part.
Smart.
And they came to get the trash bag, which was the same kind that was wrapped around Nancy's body. Inside the black trash bag was white kitchen trash bags, also like her head was wrapped in. And then a few other things, like a couple more prescription bottles, several credit cards with Nancy's name on it, her passport, her driver's license, her health insurance card, a boarding pass, and a registration for a vehicle registered to Trey and Nancy Styler. Yeah. There was another white trash bag inside the larger black trash bag, and they found a hammer in it with blood stains. The hammer was examined by the pathologist who performed Nancy's autopsy, and it was determined that the wounds looked very consistent with that hammer. Upon searching the Styler's Jaguar, technicians discovered reddish-brown marks that retracted to luminol, indicating that there was blood in their car. They also discovered black tear-resistant trash bags in the car, like the ones, but I mean, everybody has those, so I'm not like so convinced, but you know. They're all consistent of the same trash bag. When their finances were looked into, they discovered on February 19th that Trey had applied for a loan. Well, he was denied that loan because he didn't have any money.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also told the loan officer how much he hated Fancy Nancy.
Okay, listen. I'm sorry, but this is why you can't be holding people's stuff, Fancy. Because they need to make money. It's like these self-entitled, privileged people do not understand that other people need to make money. They can't afford to pay you, and they can't make any more money to pay you if you hold their shit.
Yeah, so don't hold their shit.
Don't hold their shit, because they'll fucking kill you. And also, I hate that these people put it on Facebook. That is like, so you don't put people on blast over stuff like that. It's terrible.
It's terrible.
I mean, not to victim shame, but I'm just, ugh.
I know.
Just PSA. Don't do that.
Because people do get lunatic-y.
Oh my God. Money is the root to all evil, I've heard said before. And it certainly is the reason behind many of the cases that we cover on this podcast.
It's so true. It's so true. So when he was turned down for the loan, he actually said that he might take his life to the loan officer because he had $1 million life insurance policy. Which also just kind of weird. Like, Trey, I don't know if you want to share so much detail, but whatever.
I don't think they pay out if you're like suicide too.
It depends on the policy. Some do. Mm-hmm. When the DNA from the hammer and the trash bags came back, it said, you know, they found that it was Fancy Nancy's blood and Trey Styler's DNA was on the trash bag. Then something else. The missing key for Fancy Nancy's house was located just a few yards from the Stylers' motel room. Police did not believe that Trey could have committed this murder alone because of his state, so they ended up arresting both Trey and Nancy on first-degree murder charges. But it didn't stop there, because police had been looking at another suspect. They had a sneaking suspicion that the Stylers could have been framed, or that they were working with somebody. During the course of the investigation, Kathy Carpenter had also been polygraphed because, you know, she found the body. So if you find the body, you probably need to like have a little looking into. Mm-hmm. The results of Kathy's polygraph test were like Trey's. They detected deception. Plus, they also found out that Kathy immediately went to Fancy's P.O. box. What is it called? Safety deposit box. And took out the $6,000 that the Stylers had paid in rent that she had got, and two rings from Fancy's safety deposit box. So instead of going to Fancy's memorial, Kathy was actually arrested and put in jail.
Well, that don't look good, Kathy.
It doesn't look good. The prosecution worked on a theory that Kathy actually framed the Stylers, or that they had worked together over their kindred hatred of Nancy, Fancy Nancy. Kathy got a real good defense attorney. And when the district attorney presented their evidence, they said that Kathy stated she saw blood on Nancy's forehead. But when the body was examined, the police said her entire head was covered in that bag. So there's no way that Kathy could have seen blood on her forehead. However, she did have blood on her forehead, right? But like Kathy couldn't have seen that. The defense attorney, Greg Greer, listened to that 911 call himself. And in the call, it could be heard that Kathy said there was blood on the headboard, not forehead. Mm.
So then, you know what? That had me tripping when you told me that she, okay, so she sees the blood and then she goes back to her house to get the key. I see the blood, the closet's locked, I call the police.
Yes, right?
Yeah. I'm not like going to go get the key. I'm not like maybe the police would send me to go get the key or they kick the door. But I see blood. I think you're supposed to be there. I'm calling the police.
And you smell something weird?
Forget about it. Police. Yeah.
Well, prosecution said, whoops, and they retracted that evidence against Kathy. Another thing that the prosecutor said that made them suspect Kathy was that when she told the 911 operator that Nancy was full of blood. But again, Nancy was covered in trash bags, remember? And like towels and stuff. So they were like, one, how do you even know it's Nancy? And two, like you couldn't really see that. But Kathy says it was translucent enough, you know, those white trash bags, that it was enough for her to see that there was blood in the trash bag, which then I'm like, well, maybe she's right. And who else would it be in the closet,
I was thinking
right?
That too. Yeah.
So despite there only being physical evidence tying Trey to Fancy's murder, he and his wife, Nancy Styler, and Kathy Carpenter were slated to be tried for the murder. 3 months after the arrest, the prosecution was ready for trial, and this is where it gets a little bananas. In a packed courtroom, in what was being called the most sensational murder trial in all of Aspen history, Trey Styler tells the judge that he did it.
I thought you were going to say he was boning Kathy.
Oh, whoa. He says he killed Nancy, Fancy Nancy, and that he did it all by himself. His wife was not involved, and neither was Kathy Carpenter. Trey said that while his wife was sleeping, he went over to Fancy's house to try to reason with her. Finding the front door unlocked, he just went in upstairs to her bedroom, and he lost it when he saw her sleeping peacefully while his whole life was falling apart around him. He suddenly thought he could get rid of all of his problems once and for all if he killed Nancy. Trey went back down to the garage to get trash bags and a hammer, and when he got back upstairs, he just started hitting Nancy over the head over and over until she was dead. He covered her head with the trash bag to minimize the spread of blood. He said he pulled Nancy's body onto a sheet, onto the floor, tied her up. Then he pulled her body inches at a time into the bedroom closet. He threw the murder weapon and some items belonging to Nancy, like the pill bottle, put it in his trunk, and tossed it into that bear-proof trash can. Trey Styler pled guilty to second-degree murder, and in June of 2014, he received a 20-year prison sentence. It's worth mentioning that investigators did not believe that Trey acted on his own.
Yeah.
But with his confession and no evidence tying Nancy Styler or Kathy to the crime, they couldn't do anything. They just had to accept his confession.
Yeah.
Nancy Styler was free, but had to live under the shadow of being a murderer's wife. She changed her name, moved to another state, and Kathy Carpenter lost her job and had to also move. Nancy's charges were dismissed with prejudice, which I guess means that she can never be charged again, but Kathy's were not. So she could get charged again if there was some sort of new physical evidence that ever came up. Nancy Styler, you're going to love this part. She collaborated with an author to write a book about the case called Guilt by Matrimony, a memoir of love, madness, and the murder of Nancy Feister. The author, Daylene Berry, sat down in an interview with Trey, and he stated, "I did not intend to kill her. The thought never went through my mind. Oh, I think I'm going to kill her. The first thought I can remember is, I did kill her. Past tense." He also insisted in the book that he acted alone. He also told the author that, "I've been trying to hang on and not do something definitive." The author then said, "Like suicide?" And he says, "Yeah, like suicide." Well, in July 2015, Nancy filed for bankruptcy. And then a month later, on August 5th, 2015, 67-year-old William Trey Styler hung himself.
Ugh.
And Nancy received $1 million payout. She immediately had to pay $150,000 to settle her bankruptcy case. Let me tell you about Nancy, Fancy Nancy's daughter, Juliana Feister. She filed a $25 million wrongful death suit against Nancy Styler in 2016. In the lawsuit, she alleged that Trey made up his confession to the murder of her mother to keep Nancy Styler from being prosecuted of the crime, which I probably think is true.
I have a couple of things. For one, I think that I'm kind of 50-50 on whether that's true or not, because it was such a dumbass plan.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like between two heads, you'd come up with one better plan, which murder 101, get rid of the body.
I know, right? Okay, so maybe everybody
he did
says
act alone.
Yeah, because everybody was like, he's so frail. But it's like, dude, when you have that adrenaline and you like, okay, like he probably did and flipped the mattress and had it like rage inside of himself. That's chicken. That can do a lot, you know? But let me just tell you, she like was real pissed at Juliana that this woman was profiting from her mother's death with this book too.
Sure, even if she was a bitch.
And then received the $1 million life insurance payout, right? And so in May of that year, they ordered Nancy Styler to turn over the $850,000 left of the life insurance to Juliana.
Yeah.
Also, one quick thing. I did read a couple places that Juliana never ever spoke to Kathy Carpenter after her mother's death. So part of me thinks that Kathy was just a innocent bystander in all this. And she fully says like, there's no way that she was involved, but the whole ring thing, taking the money, that to me is a little weird. And the fact that if Juliana really never spoke to Kathy, maybe that's telling. I don't know.
I think that if she really had the kind of dynamic with her friend, with Fancy Nancy that you described, and then she, you know, yeah, goes and gets the money or whatever, that would feel like such a betrayal, but you would understand it as the daughter that she like loathed her, like maybe, you know.
Well, Kathy said she took the money and the rings from the safety deposit box because Fancy had said, if anything ever happens to me, these go to my, like, these go to my daughter. So she was like, I was taking them immediately. So nobody got them to give them to Juliana.
Okay. Well, yeah. I don't know. I would have a conversation. I just picture, this is what I'm picturing. I'm picturing this going down very like Matlock style. I picture the Aspen courthouse being like real old and cool. And a lot of people in there wearing cowboy hats. Because,
probably right.
Yeah, Kyle on Beverly Hills Housewives, you know, she goes to this like fancy get your cowboy hat made store every time she goes to Aspen. And I just feel like fancy, probably have a lot of fancy friends, and they were all in like long coats.
Yeah, for sure they were.
And cool hats.
Okay. All right. Well, rest in peace, Fancy Nancy. I'm sorry that had to happen to you at a young age. And hopefully Juliana is living her best life and has the adventurous spirit that you had, because I love that part of her, and a more kinder Good. Heart, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that's all for today. So like I said, if you want to get $50 free merch from Five Crimes, which you will not be disappointed, I promise you.
Yeah.
Then sign up for Patreon, patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime, and then shoot us a email, housewivesoftruecrime@gmail.com, and I will send you over your personal code to get whatever products you want. I promise you, they are amazing. If you want your hair to grow, get the hair serum. If you want your face to be glowing and wrinkle free,
use it every day. Illegal glow.
Illegal glow. If you need some tan because you are white as a ghost right now because it's winter, first of all, be taking that vitamin D. But second of all, the tanning drops are where it's at. We also have amazing lotion. And
body scrub.
The body scrub is absolutely my favorite thing.
It's criminal.
It is. Smooth criminal. All right. So patreon.com/housewives. I think that's it for today. Crime Wave at @C/housewives.
Let's do this. Yeah.
Put your email in there. Get the information. Talk to your husband, your girlfriend, your best friend, your whoever.
Yeah, let's go. Let's have a good time. It's my first big cruise.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be so fun, you guys. It's going to be so fun. And you go to their private island. Listen, we went to their private island. Ooh. I told Gretchen. I was literally on like the phone with her, like, this cruise is going to be so fun when we go on it, like, because it also stops at the private island. That is amazing. And all of the stuff is included, like your food and whatever, when you're on the private island, because it's part of Royal Caribbean. And I'm like, oh, this sounds just like great.
It's great.
It's great. It is so great, you guys. So anyhow, any hadoozle, we will see you all on Thursday, because you all are going to be on our Patreon. So,
yay.
Oh, and then go back to last week's episode on Thursday. Gretchen did an amazing job on a crime about Johnny
Lewis.
That name is like so good.
So Johnny generic, Lewis, but yes.
Johnny Lewis from Sons of Anarchy. He went a little batshit, and Gretchen tells us all about it. So check out that episode before you get us this Thursday, and go Eagles.
Or Chiefs.
I don't care.
Whatever.
You know, everybody loves Taylor.
I'm coming for the nachos.
Okay, I'm having sure nachos, right?
Yeah.
I'm having Chipotle.
Perfect.
I hope you like Chipotle.
Yeah. Okay. Any form of queso will do me.
All right, cool. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.